It's interesting, isn't it, that when you're thinking of COVID all the time, that even the Bible shows symptoms. Have you noticed that? I was rereading. For example, you're familiar with the story in Genesis when God comes after Eve's eye-opening Zoom session with the serpent. All right, you see how we're looking at things already, and she spilled the beans about the nakedness. And so God comes and he's bringing them clothes. And if you read the Hebrew a certain way, he's bringing them masks, okay? And he tells Eve, you know, you got to wear the mask because you've been contaminated by that pandemic python that you were talking with. And Adam says, well, I've been around her and I don't feel any symptoms. And God said, you're still contagious. And if you read the next chapter, you guys are going to have kids. But if you wear your mask, if you wash your hands a whole lot and keep the kids away from the snake, maybe we can stop this pandemic of sin and nip it in the bud. But of course, as soon as God left, the mask came off, the clothes came off, and the rest, as they say, is history. The Bible just got more and more out of control. And that kind of leads us to our passage about what's happening and beyond, a little past our passage as well. When Moses had been up on the mountain with God and he comes down and he sees that sure enough, the virus has spread because the people are acting like idiots. They're dancing and they're drinking and they're all hanging out at that new night hotspot called the Golden Calf. And in our story, we're left once again shaking our heads at these people, wondering to know what part of no don't they understand? No other gods, no images. Except that God could ask us the same thing, right? What part of no don't we understand? No other gods. I wonder what those might be. You see, I don't wonder whether or not you have them. You do. Whether or not you're admitting it, you do. I'll show you mine if you show me yours. All right, because we have more than one, don't we? I've got time. I've got work. I've got pride. I've got judging. Some of you may have control, maybe not of others. Well, maybe you want to control others. But maybe you want things on your agenda, on your timeline, on your expectations, on your desires. Maybe your God is power, money, health, security, popularity, success. Maybe your idol's a personality. Maybe there's a politician and you love drinking the Kool-Aid. Maybe it's a TV or a movie star. Maybe it's a singer or a musician. Maybe it's an athlete. Maybe it's not someone famous, but someone you idolize, your kids, your grandkids. Maybe you idolize yourself. Our passage finds the people fearful and they're panicked and they're angry. And if you've ever watched a Star Wars movie, and we've had 8 months to watch movies, then you know that fear leads to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. And hate leads to suffering. And you don't need to see a Star Wars movie to see that. Just look at what's happening around us. And back in our passage, in the minds of the people, Moses is late coming down from the mountain. And their fear leads to a faithlessness. And while faithfulness may cast out fear, the reverse is also true. Fear can cast out faithfulness. And that's what happens not only here in our passage, but that's what's happening in the world around us today. People are acting out of fear instead of acting out of faith. In our passage, in their fear, the people gather against Aaron. Now, it doesn't come out well in our English. Our English says, they gather themselves together to Aaron. It makes it sound like they've got marshmallows and graham crackers and chocolate bars, and they're going to gather around a campfire and make s'mores and sing Kumbaya. But the Hebrew, the specific grammatical structure, reveals their intent. It's a vayi kahal, and it's better translated as the people gathered against Aaron. And if you love technical detail, it's a passive verb form, but it's filled with ill will. Whenever it appears in this specific form, nothing good comes out of it. Later, in the book of Numbers, in chapter 16, that same form of the verb appears with the rebellious antics of Korah. Remember when he challenges Moses' leadership, and that's the word that's used then. And it all starts with this vayi kahal. It's a form that means menace or threat, possible violence. The vayi kahal, that's the word that's used in the very first verse. Vayi kahal. And of course, if you read the rest of the passage, if you read the rest of the chapter, it reveals what happens because of this evil intent. Our passage stops at verse 14. But if you read the rest of the chapter, all kinds of bad and terrible things happen. And it all starts here with this vayi kahal, this gathering against. But if you read past chapter 32, and maybe 33 and 34, and you get yourself to chapter 35, verse 1, that same Hebrew verb appears, but it's in a different form. It's in a different form. The vayakayal. The vayakayal. Moses assembles. Moses calls together the congregation of Israel. The root of the two verbs is the same. It means community. But what kind of community did they make? In our passage and in number 16, it's a community with an evil, hate-filled, fearful intent. But in chapter 35, the vayakayal, it signifies a gathering, but what a difference a shift in the vowels can make. The root word still means community, but how they form it and for what purpose is what matters. In our passage, the people connived and concocted an unproductive method to promote their fear and their doubt. They convinced themselves of the worst instead of connecting with the experience of redemption and revelation. But in chapter 35, they channel their energy toward building the Mishkan, the tabernacle, the tent. Remember that when they were in the wilderness? Their traveling sanctuary, reminding them that God was always with them, that they don't need to be afraid. And the Jewish teaching about that in the Midrash, it notes that the people who had come forward to give their gold to form the molten calf out of anger and fear, now come forward, this time with their jewelry and their gold, with gifts of the heart, not out of fear, but out of love, to create a sacred community for the people. They turn away from a golden calf to a golden opportunity. They recognize the importance of a community that is based on faith, not fear, based on redemption and revelation and the living presence of God. They are transformed. They are no longer a desperate, disjointed band of various tribes controlled by fear. They are active agents involved in creating a community that shares strength, shares hope, shares encouragement, shares love, shares forgiveness. They still have to go through the wilderness, and so do we. But now they, like us, can go through that together as a community of faith and not fear. And that makes all the difference in the world. And that's part of our challenge. What kind of a community are we making? Are we making one that is based on fear or faith? A vayi kahal or a vaya kahal? We're called to put away our golden calves and to claim our golden opportunity, to build a community that is based on faith and trust, on redemption and revelation and the living presence of God. The problem with false gods is it stops us from being aware of the living God that is in us. Whether out of fear or selfishness, sometimes we are tempted to try and shape God in our image, the way we want God to be, the way we think God should act. Maybe not into a golden calf, but into our image, rather than to understand that we have been made in the image of God. And that's why Jesus came, to help us put away our golden calves and to receive our golden opportunity given to us by God's grace through Jesus, to remind us all that all of us together are God's children, that all of us are made in God's image, and that through Jesus, even if we are alone or afraid, we can still know that God is always with us. Amen.